You're listening to Canada Reimagined. I'm Patrick Esmond White. This episode, A New Commonwealth. Nearly 400 years ago, the philosopher Thomas Hobbes described life without the benefit of government to be solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. If we're not careful, that's where the planet is heading. Let me be clear. Government is essential. Good government, that is. Government devoted to democracy, rule of law, and sustainability. It's critical for the capitalist private sector to thrive. Now, if Canada is not part of the solution to the problems faced around the world, we are part of the problem. And as things stand, we're not making a significant difference. That, in a nutshell, is why we need to reimagine Canada. The ideas I proposed, however, would upset the constitutional apple cart. It would only be worthwhile if the end result is better government. This prompts the practical question, what would the end result look like for both provinces and Canadian citizens? Each and every province would have its own concerns, its own questions and answers. The cultures, ecosystems, economies of each province and each region are unique, united only in being Canadian. Even Alberta, with threats of Wexit and withdrawal from the Canada Pension Plan, is still Canadian at heart. Rather than going province by province, let me speculate on how the plot might evolve. It starts when a national crisis is triggered as Indigenous nations demand restitution and specifically Crown lands. Shouts of protest are heard across the land. The First Nations, undeterred, hold a referendum. After winning approval from within their own ranks, they press their demand politically, loudly, insistently. Ottawa's tied up in constitutional knots. The crisis threatens the economy. The Prime Minister procrastinates. All fired up, Indigenous extremists urge direct action if the negotiations aren't fair. They threaten to block railroads or pipelines or highways. National security agencies are on full alert. The Prime Minister threatens to get tough and bring in the army if the protests get out of hand. Even his supporters urge caution. De-escalate, they urge. Don't start a civil war. First Nation leaders also urge calm, but tensions continue to rise. Canadians, however, hear a lot about the Indigenous referendum. They think it through. The geography of a proposed First Nation province begins to emerge from the referendum data. Some First Nations want status quo, but most want restitution. Indigenous pride is on the rise. It has momentum. Some provinces conclude there would be no major impact on their people or economy. Most Canadians live in cities and communities in the far south. Other provinces see that huge swaths of their land would be lost, but with little impact. They don't rely on royalties. The oil provinces are the ones where the debate is fiercest. Quebec, however, wastes no time in drawing a line in the snow. The ruling Coalition Avenir Québec declares it will separate if this goes ahead and demands the right to keep every inch of its land. The Québécois unite behind the CAQ. Separatism, long hidden in the basement of Confederation, is back. The metropolitan areas of Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal have a different debate. What about creating province-equivalent status for the major cities, a place in the Constitution? That debate heats up. Meanwhile, social policy experts weigh in on which responsibilities might logically be transferred to Ottawa. Health? Education? Housing? What else? How would it work? What would it cost or save? As ever, the devil is in the details. Interest groups, academics, and think tanks all start running the numbers. Is the total restructuring of education simply a step too far? Do voters want a national health care system? Political leaders are paralyzed. The national conversation has veered out of their control with no obvious off-ramp. fissures appear within parties and within regions. It's chaos. Then, polling results start coming in. Support for Indigenous restitution? The numbers are mixed. Politicians sit on the fence. Mugwumps. That was an American word to describe politicians whose mug was on one side of the fence, their wump on the other. We have mugwumps. But the polling. Do voters want to reform the voting system? Would Canadians want Ottawa to be responsible for health, education, and a guaranteed basic income? Should the environment be constitutionally protected? Yes, say the polls, on all counts, but not unanimous across the board. But on the climate question, Alberta panics. The oil patch warns it would be a disaster. Talk of withdrawing from the Canada Pension Plan persists. Wexit talk is also on the rise. If Quebec, why not Alberta? What's good in all this is that it is a debate. In all this confused political chaos, the conversation does not take place in a smoky back room full of old white men. It's a true debate, a public discourse involving citizens everywhere. Political parties are split internally. They realize they cannot simply select some items from the constitutional menu and ignore the rest. They must articulate a plan, a vision, and not just platitudes. One major politician recently said that the main job of Prime Minister is to offer hope. He's wrong. Hope is not a plan. There is no magic pixie dust. Leaders have to lead to make decisions. They have to respond to events that cannot be predicted or controlled. When the Cree in the North and the Anglophones of West Quebec tell Quebec that they want out of a separatist Quebec nation, how do leaders respond? It's looking grim for Canadian unity. Canada is coming apart at the seams. Tempers begin to flare. Then tough negotiations follow. Ideas spring up in unexpected places. The First Nations discuss whether they too should be a separate country like Quebec, but the advantages of Canada to them are overwhelming. Then even more the voice of calm is heard. Quebec voters recognize the similarity in circumstances faced by all cultures and languages under threat. They accept the idea of restitution. If Quebec separates, the CAQ is clear. It can be amicable. Residents can hold dual citizenship. Lots of people hold two passports. Francophone communities outside Quebec need not worry. They can be officially bilingual. French can be promoted. It's all easily accommodated. Then, Anglophone communities in Quebec say they want to stay Canadian. That's a tough one for Quebec. But the argument is made that by letting the Anglophone communities leave, the new Quebec will be more pure laine, genuine Québécois. The Indigenous leaders understand from the start that their borders need not be contiguous. Their new province will be huge but disconnected. Tribes on reserves join the province. The Confederation of First Nations contains so many threatened languages and cultures. Governing will be complex. Slowly, negotiations settle in and citizens are reassured. The things that connect them to civic life are intact. The economic benefits are huge. There is an end in sight. What emerges from the chaos is the outline of a new Canadian Commonwealth to replace Confederation. New constitutions are written for both Quebec and Canada. A bilateral treaty between the two countries ensures cooperation and friendship. The First Nations hammer out a constitution for their Indigenous province, dovetailed with the Canadian Constitution. It's complex. It's a true test of leadership. All agree that where things work well right now in Canada, nothing need change. The goal is to refine and improve, not invite chaos. For all the drama of constitutional renovation, the lives of most individuals should be disrupted as little as necessary. The emerging political map shows 9 existing provinces, now physically smaller, and separately a new smaller Quebec nation. Also added, the indigenous province that replaces the territories. New provinces are also created for the Toronto and Ottawa metro regions. Other cities consider the idea and reject it. For Toronto, constitutional status is a cause for celebration. Now they can plan. The rest of the province is glad to see the city go. The uneasy marriage of urban multiculturalism and rural conservatives is over. The National Capital Region is also overjoyed to gain provincial status. Both Ottawa and Gatineau have long felt like unwanted stepchildren of their respective provinces. Leaders from both sides of the Ottawa River negotiate and quickly agree. Referendums confirm it. The National Capital Region will be one city, officially bilingual, a province. The Canada-Quebec Treaty would set out the terms of cooperation, issues such as environment, trade, food and agriculture, national security, and a host of others would be seamlessly coordinated. Existing government departments would continue their role. In areas like culture and communication, the two countries would go their own way. Dual citizenship would be the norm. Confederation is in the past, a commonwealth is in the future. But constitutional change requires overwhelming support. It's a legal process. There is a formula for change that's really tough to get around. It takes widespread agreement. One key to getting it done all at once is that it creates the fluid discussion in which compromise and trade-off is possible. A second key is that the final package produces a new Canada that would meet the tests of good constitutional renovation. That is, in each and every province, people would reconnect even stronger to civic life. These provinces might be smaller, more intimate. They would also be more culturally united. All political institutions would be more accountable. Democratic reform ensures this. The real key to success, however, is that Canada accepts the vision of a new national dream, a green economic and industrial strategy that can generate wealth. With no shared vision, there's no national dream, no Canadian Commonwealth, no change in our bleak outcome. To win support for a vision, it must be clear that the economy will grow dramatically. The details matter. The hydrogen economy matters. The energy transition matters. Farms and forests and oceans matter. All these things matter if Canada is to create a national commonwealth, a new democracy, better governance to meet the challenge of the future. But there's still another fly in the ointment. Everything that I have just speculated on takes place against a dramatic backdrop. That is, the political reckoning that is coming. Tectonic changes in the world of politics, empires, demographics, climate change, and war. That's all ahead. You've been listening to Canada Reimagined. I am Patrick Esmond-White and completely responsible for what you've been listening to. I'd like to thank Tom Evans for my artwork, Tom Plant for my music, and Harbinger Media for allowing me to be part of their collective of independent Canadian podcasters. Tune in again and